Blog
Good evening,
Talk
beloved.
Radio.
Once again, we are here in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Wait a minute, what's this here? What is this? Where did I get this from? You there, brother?
I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here, doctor.
Oh, okay. I got my speakers on. All right. Go ahead. Let's praise the Lord. Move all blessings flow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Tonight is the night that we just thank God once again. We're on the radio, and we have a beloved man of God with us. Dr. Newsom, you're on the screen, you're on the set. Amen.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I thank God for another day. I tell you, God is good. Dr. Hunter, I love you. I thank you for this great opportunity to take the word of God into all the world. I tell you, we're fulfilling the great commission. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even until the end of time. I tell you, Dr. Hunter, God is with you. We're carrying out the great commission. And it's good to be in the plan and the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tonight, God gave me the message is on perseverance. Perseverance.
Uh-huh.
God wants you, those who are listening all around the world. God told me to tell you, because I asked him what to speak, you know. He told me to tell you to persevere. Persevere. So persevere, I tell you, it is a connector to your abundance. You can't say, or we can't say that we're in faith, but yet not persevere. Persevering and walking by faith, they go hand in hand. I tell you, you can't do one without the other and have great success. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 tells us not to be, the scripture says, don't be slothful or don't be lazy, but be imitators of them who through faith and patience obtain the promises of God. Now, that word patience right there, it means perseverance. It means to be persistent. It means endurance. It means being diligent. In this life, you're going to be confronted by circumstance. Jesus says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. In other words, he's letting us know there'll be trouble in this world and plenty of it. But be of good cheer, since I've overcome it, you can overcome it too. We need to persevere in life because at times we will be confronted with circumstances is seeking to block us, seeking to stop us from reaching our destination that God has all planned out for us, seeking to frustrate us. Satan wants to frustrate us. You know, he's our arch enemy. He's an enemy. He's our adversary. He hates you. He hates me. And so he tries to stop us, to block us from reaching our destination in God. At some point in your life, you're going to need to persevere through the tough times. There's going to be some tough times, but glory to God, we can overcome them. We can overcome these tough times. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the scripture says, whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, the trouble in this world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. So it's with our faith and our perseverance that we overcome the trouble in this world. We've got to persevere. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the scripture says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. There's that word perseverance again. Steadfast is another word used for perseverance. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he's God talking to us. He's talking to you. Be ye steadfast. In other words, persevere. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, God's going to pay you. There's going to be a payday for you. Isn't that wonderful news? That's wonderful news, isn't it, Dr.
Hunter? Amen. Amen.
There's going to be a payday for you.
It sure is.
If you continue in faith, continue to use your faith and persevere. I mean, when things get tough, the tough get going.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy frustrate you to the point that you stop and you stop pushing forward. Don't let the enemy frustrate you. That's what he wants you to do. Persevere. Be steadfast despite the difficulties that we may face. Be persevere despite the difficulties that we face in life. Look at Jesus, Yeshua. Now in the Garden of Gethsemane, well, you know, he knew what he came here to do. He saw what was about to take place in his life in the Garden of Gethsemane. The scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. He persevered. I'm glad he persevered, because if he wouldn't have persevered, you and I both, all of us would have, we would be in hell right now. We would have bust hell wide open by now. But because Jesus, because Yeshua persevered and went on to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, good God Almighty, we have eternal life and we can also enjoy the abundant life. Now, I tell you, if you want to experience the abundant life, John 10:10 said, the thief cometh nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly. But to obtain the abundant life, we have to walk by faith and we have to persevere. The promises of God are received through faith and patience. Patience meaning perseverance. We have to persevere. Yes. Amen. Now let's look at four things that we have to do to persevere.
Amen.
Four things that we have to do to persevere. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians and let's look at chapter 4. I pray that everyone is reading along with me in the Word of God. I tell you, the Word of God is awesome. It's our light. It's a lamp. It's a light. It shows us the way to go. We need the Word of God.
Light.
Now, four things that we need to do to persevere. Now, as you can see, that perseverance is a very important thing. It's very important, because if you don't persevere, then you'll quit. You'll stop. You won't reach your destiny in life, because it's not just going to fall out the sky and drop in your lap. No, we're going to have to use our faith, and we're going to have to persevere. We're going to have to use our faith, and we're going to have to push forward. We're going to have to be persistent. We're going to have to be persistent. Don't stop. Don't quit. I love that scripture over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. That scripture says, let us not grow weary, don't faint in well-doing. He says, because in due season, at the appointed time, you'll reap your harvest if you faint not. Good God Almighty. Isn't it good to know that there's a harvest out there for us?
If you faint
not, we can't faint. We have to persevere. We have to persevere. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians, and let's look at verse 4, and let's begin at verse 8. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and look at some of the stuff the Apostle Paul went through. I tell you, it wasn't all walking through a bed of tulips for Apostle Paul. It wasn't a walk, a stroll through the park all the time. I tell you, Apostle Paul, he went through a lot of stuff. a lot of tough times. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at beginning with verse 8. Paul says, we are troubled on every side. Paul says, right now we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, people are talking about me. They're persecuting me, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He says, I've been cast down, I'm not destroyed. I've been persecuted, trouble on every side, but I'm not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, you see right here, Paul went through some tough times, Dr. Hunter. He went through some tough times. He confronted a lot of serious, he was confronted by a lot of serious circumstances. I mean, there were folks out to get him, out to kill him. I tell you, he was whipped and beaten and shipwrecked and, I tell you, persecuted, but the brother kept persevering. He persevered to the point where God used him to write most of the New Testament. I tell you, Paul was a great man of God because he what? He persevered. He persevered. Now let's look at four things that we need to do in the Word of God to persevere. Let's go down, move down to verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. The scripture says, for which cause we faint not. Good God Almighty. Paul said, I've been beaten. They chased me out of towns. I've been persecuted, talked about, mistreated. But look what he says in verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. He didn't faint. He didn't faint. He kept persevering. But for a moment, working for us, a far more, I went down too far. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Four things that we need to do to persevere. Number one, you can see in the scripture, Paul was recognizing, he was saying that his inward man was being renewed day by day. Paul was drawing strength from his inner man. Four things we need to do to persevere. Number one, we have to draw strength from our inner man. We need to work from the spirit and not from the flesh.
That's right.
We need to draw from our spirit, not from outside circumstances. Because I'll show you in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is in our spirit, man. God Almighty is in our spirit, man. And so that's where we need to draw our strength from. It's from our inner man. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The scripture says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have the I Am, the everlasting Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have him living on the inside of us. God Almighty. glory to God. That's why he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's on the inside of us. That's where we draw our strength from. We draw our strength from our inner man, because the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us into all truth and tells us what to do so that we can have the victory, is he's on the inside of us. Good God Almighty. So number one, four things that we need to do to persevere. Number one, we need to draw our strength from our inner man. Draw our strength from the Holy Spirit of God that is in us. We can talk to him. We can commune with him. And he talks with us. I remember when I asked God, God, do you want me to be on TV? This was years ago. We're on TV now. We're going into it. My wife and I were asleep. We were asleep in the bed. And I heard a voice saying through television. And then I saw a satellite go across. It was in my mind. I was, you know, my eyes were closed, but I saw it. And I heard the voice. I woke my wife up, and I said, Sugar, did you hear that? She said, no, I didn't hear anything. I heard God tell me that he wanted me to teach the word of God through television. I heard it. I thought it was audible, the way it sounds, but my wife didn't hear it. You see, come to find out, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me from the inside.
Amen.
We draw our strength from our inner man. That's where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is on the inside. Four things we need to do. We need to persevere. We're going to have to hear from God. We're going
Please
to have
come.
To hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, who is in our inner man. He's in our inner man. He's in our spirit. We need to draw from the Holy Spirit that's in our spirit. We don't need to draw from outside circumstances, and we surely don't need to draw from the flesh. We need to draw strength from our inner man. Is that right, Dr. Hunter?
That's right. That's right.
Isaiah chapter 40.
That's right.
Amen. We need to draw strength from our inner man if we're going to persevere. You see, if you don't draw strength from the Holy Spirit from your inner man, you'll give up. You'll throw in the towel. You'll get frustrated and you'll quit. You'll figure that things are just too hard. I can't make it. But if you draw strength from the Holy Spirit, I've heard the Holy Spirit tell me plenty of times, and I know you have, Dr. Hunter, when you feel like quitting, he'll come and tell you to keep going. Keep going.
Yeah.
He'll come
keep
and
going.
He'll encourage you. Am I right about that?
That's severe.
He'll speak to us.
You're right. You're right about it.
From where? Our inner man. I remember I was jogging a few days ago, and my daughter went jogging with me. This was a great jog because this happened to me while we were out jogging. I was jogging, and there was this man, me and my daughter, we were running, and it was getting tough. It was getting tough because I was running a mile. And a guy stopped at the stop sign in his car, and he said, keep going. You're almost there. I said, man, that was the Holy Spirit saying, keep going. You're almost there. That's what I want to share with everyone that's listening all around the world. I want to share that with you tonight. God want me to tell you to keep going. You're almost there.
Almost there.
Persevere.
Amen.
Persevere. Keep
Amen.
Going. You're almost there. Now, keep going. Keep going. I know things get tough, but you know what? You're going to win. Keep going. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, God says the good work that he's begun in you, he's faithful that he's going to finish it.
Yes, sir.
You can be confident in that. He's going to finish it.
Yes,
but he don't want you to give up. He wants you to keep going. The only person that can stop you from reaching your destination in God is you.
That's right.
Is you. And that's if you quit, if you faint, if you throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. You keep going. Persevere. Persevere. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16 says this, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and the crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Persevere. Keep going. Draw strength from your inner man. That's where the Holy Spirit is. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, we're talking about four things to do to persevere. Number one, we got to draw strength from our inner man. Now let's go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's finish looking at the scripture. Let's look at verse 17. Paul, he persevered. And in these scriptures right here, he's talking about what he did. He's showing us, God is showing us what Paul did to persevere. Number one, he drew strength from his inner man, because in verse 16 it says his inward man was renewed day by day. He knew that there was strength, the Holy Spirit. He knew he had strength within his inner man. In verse 17 says, and you know who was renewing his inward man. That was God renewing his inner man.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit renewing your inner man. Have you ever needed a word from God in the scripture that's come up in you?
Yes.
And tell you what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or you may be laying on the bed and you want to know what to do for today or how to get out of a certain situation. And the scripture comes to mind. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Within your inner man. Now, number two, let's look at verse 17. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. My God. Paul said the beatings that he took, he called it a light affliction. What?
Yes.
That man was beat. He was persecuted. My God, man. He was beat with a whip, a cat of nine tails. He was whipped pretty bad. Put it that way. That man was beat, but he called it what? A light affliction.
A light affliction.
That's our second point. The next thing, number two, the thing we need to do to persevere is don't inflate the size of your problem. Don't make your problem bigger than what it is.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Don't magnify your problem. Don't exaggerate. Don't call it what God calls it. Call your problem what God calls it, a light affliction. Paul was beat. In verse 8, he says he was troubled on every side. But verse 17, he's calling it all what? A light affliction. Don't magnify or inflate your problem. You call it what God calls it, a light affliction. Because if you get to magnifying your problem and blowing it up, that will cause you to quit.
Yeah.
It will cause you to throw in the towel.
That's right. Yeah.
It will cause you to stop. Isn't that right,
Dr.
Hunter?
That's right. That's right.
I heard the prophetess on. I heard you online. Isn't that right?
That's right. That's right.
I'm
praise God.
You.
Praise God.
Amen. Yes, sir. My phone was on mute.
Okay. It will cause you. You get to magnifying your problems. It will cause you to quit and throw in the towel. I remember years ago, Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran had a big fight.
Yes.
People paid millions of dollars to come from all around the world to see this fight. Because, you know, at that time, they were supposed to be the two best fighters in the world.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the fight between Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran, in the middle of the fight just now starting now, people done paid millions of dollars to come see this fight. It's televised all on TV and everything. But right at the beginning of the fight, Roberto Duran, he throws his hands up, and he says what? No more. No more.
That
brother quit the fight. He didn't persevere. He only had stomach cramps, but he magnified those stomach cramps.
Yes.
He inflated the problem and quit the fight.
That's good.
Amen.
I'm telling you, don't inflate the size of your problem. Don't exaggerate it. Don't make it bigger than what it is. Back in the day, I know y'all remember this saying, I heard the old people say, don't make a mountain out of a molehill.
Molehill, come on.
Don't make a mountain out of a molehill.
Oh, glory.
I tell you, because when you do stuff like this, what it'll do, it'll cause you to want to quit. It'll cause you to stop. But to obtain the promises of God, we got to do it through faith and perseverance. And
amen.
God just wants me to tell you, persevere. You know, a mole is a little animal, and it has bad eyesight, and it burrows underground close to the surface of the ground. And as it's burrowing, it leaves a little mound of dirt. Well, people used to say, don't make a mountain out of that little old mole of dirt.
That's
out of that
right.
mound of dirt. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. And that's what God is saying in his word. The Apostle Paul, he didn't make anything big of what he was going through. He called it what? A light
affliction.
Whatever you're going through, it's only a light affliction. And number three, let's look at verse 18. Number 18. It says right here, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So we need, number three, my final point, we need to look at our problems as being temporary.
Come
Amen.
On.
Look
Amen.
At your problem as being temporary. It's not going to last. And that's what Paul, that's what helped Paul to persevere. He knew it wasn't going to last. It was only temporary. After you have suffered for just a little while, God is going to come and strengthen you and establish you and perfect you. He's going to raise you up. You're going to come forth as pure gold. It's not going to last. Remember that song, Papa Don't Laugh Always?
Yes, indeed.
Papa Don't Laugh Always. Psalm chapter 34, verse 19 proves that also.
Yeah.
He said, Psalm 34, 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, thank God for that but the Lord delivered them out of them all. It's not going to last, whatever you're going through. I don't care if the enemy might be attacking your body. He might be attacking your money. He might be attacking your family. Just look at it as being temporary, because I tell you, God has promised you that it's not going to last.
Yes.
Every problem that you're faced with has an expiration date.
Amen.
Every problem that you're faced with has an expiration date. It's going to end.
Amen.
It's going to end. Glory to God. And I got to wrap it up now. I got one minute. My fourth and final point. We got to trust God to work a more glorious outcome for you. God's going to work it out for you. He's going to work it out for you. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I love Paul. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, 28, he said, for my God, he will cause all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Trust God to work a more glorious outcome for you. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Good God Almighty. Paul is saying all this stuff that I'm going through, God's going to make it work out, and he's going to make it work out more glorious for me.
Amen.
Persevere, child of God. I'm so grateful I had this time to bring you the word. Persevere. Persevere.
Amen.
All of you all are listening all around the world. I just want to encourage you. Keep going.
Amen.
You're
Amen.
Almost
Amen.
There.
Amen.
Keep going. You're almost
Amen.
There.
Amen.
Four
Amen. Well, don't
to
hang
do
up because I know some people got some words they want to say of encouragement. And I thank God for you taking your time to be on the radio tonight around
Thank
the world.
Thank you, Doc.
Is anybody anything they want to encourage our brother with? A word they want to say?
Amen. I just thank God for the word, you know, especially in a time like this. You know, a lot of people are going through a lot of things, and preaching and teaching the word of God that brings hope, you know, and that's what Jesus Christ did. He brought hope, you know, for the people, and that's what this word is for tonight. A lot of people are going through a lot of things, but if they persevere, they too can get to the other side.
That's
you know,
right.
The same thing that Jesus told. Amen. The same thing Jesus told the disciples when they were out there on that ship, that boat, and before they got on the boat, he told them that we shall go to the other side. But everybody knows the story. A storm arose. Jesus was down in the bottom asleep. And the storm arose, and the disciples got so fearful, you know, and it was like, what you do, Master? Bring us out here for us to perish? And Jesus asked them, why be so fearful? You know, do you really realize who are with you? And that thing is, people got to realize who did everything for them.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important for us to continue to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring the hope to the people so they know there is a way out.
Mm-hmm.
I can get to the other side. And that's what Apostle Paul did. He taught about Jesus, what Jesus did.
That's right.
And the things that, that's right, and the things that we have to do because of Jesus already done. To bring that hope.
Amen.
This is, I tell you, I want to say this one more thing. And then I'm going to be quiet and let somebody else, because I know we got some people on the line tonight. But I really want people just to really, I'm serious. Everybody that's called to apostleship, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, a minister, this is not an easy job. And this is this is something that we all got to take with so much sincerity and compassion that we teach these people. And so many people out here that's truly suffering. And that's why Apostle Paul and the rest of the disciples and Jesus and everybody else, these examples, that's why they went through what they went through that would bring hope to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Amen. I want to encourage you, Apostle.
Yes.
I really do. Because I know you have a congregation. And I know it gets hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell the truth. We have to deal with spirits.
Yes.
You have to deal with so many different spirits. We're not talking about the people. We're talking about the spirits that you have to face and that you got to deal with. One can fight 1,000, but 2 can fight 10,000. So guess when you got a congregation, how many more you dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why we have to stand flat-footed.
Yeah.
In the word of God, being unmovable, unshakable, always abiding in the word of God. And know that your labor is not in vain.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I just thought that was a powerful word of encouragement tonight for the people. And I was reminded of the word of God that comes out of Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And the very same scripture that the man of God also gave tonight, that he works together for the good of those that are called according to the purposes of God. as we stand and wait on the promises of God, we know that they are yes and amen. What a powerful, powerful, encouraging message for the people, for the body, for non-believers as well. I pray that there are some on the line tonight, because we all need to be encouraged in this time of peril. Paul said in 2 Timothy that this is perilous time. We have to cling to God even the more in this last hour. We have
yes.
to continue to be faithful to do the work of the Lord so that the people will be drawn. And I just bless the Lord for the man of God that came forth tonight with such a edifying word for the body. Amen. God bless
Glory
you.
To God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Everybody else, somebody, I know you've been touched by this message tonight. So I know you've been touched by it. I've been encouraged. Don't give up.
I tell you one thing.
Don't
I got a message out of the message.
Okay.
Glory to God.
I said I got a message out of the message. And the title of this message is Duty Call.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well,
yes,
Lord. Well, duty calls. I like that.
Thank you, God.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah.
Yes,
Hallelujah. Well, you know, one of the final things that he said tonight, the man of God spoke about, you notice he gave us different doses of precepts and concepts that God do to number four. I got four things. In other words, like when it's going up, Mama said you got to go take 2 tablespoons of this or 2 teaspoons of this. You take the more God word in you, the more you can do what God called you to do. And
that's
my
right.
beloved, for those of you who are listening and
Amen.
Those who are just more quiet, I want to let you know I thank God for you. And I want everybody to have something to say. I'm not going to call nobody's name because I got so many lines on it, but I want people to just have a be free, be free, be free, be free to say what God has to say to us. Much work is needed. And many times I will say this to somebody to encourage you. If you stay on the right side, you're going to make it.
That's right.
But if you stay on the devil's side, you ain't going to make it.
That's right.
So it's up to you. It's up to us who believe we are who we say we are. We're carrying we're carrying the hope.
That's right.
In our action.
Oh,
we're
glory to God.
We've got to tell somebody constantly. See, I may not be the President of the United States, but I can encourage you.
That's right.
I may not be the mayor, but I can encourage. Come follow
that's
us.
Right.
See, and what we need to do is remember this, beloved. Jesus said a kind word turns away much wrath.
That's right.
See, and on the way to the victory, I always say to somebody, let's have a victory march. See, when I win, I said, come on, God, let's go around this just one more time. Let them see who they're messing with. Again, not to go showboat with the devil, but you know you're giving God the praise.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And I say this, and to God be the glory. Well, I'm just going to tell in on something I'm saying about doing. Since God has allowed me to move the radio station, it's not about me, it's about Him. I've asked God to allow me to get across this nation to get some prayer warriors who can pray from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock on the radio station. 3 hours. I'm going to have it still set up. And if any of you want to find out, let me give you my email address so I can send you an email. It's WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. Because a man, I would say to all of us tonight, all of us have desires, all of us have needs, but God is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And
that's,
you know,
right,
one of the things that I to say to God, he's so good, he's so merciful.
He sure is.
He's
yes.
so merciful. I mean, he left me here to do something. What is it, Lord? Have you ever sit down sometime and turn and say, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God, if you ask God, what do you want me to do? And see, when God says to you, you can take the test because God has never given you anything bigger than his son didn't have. And that's what keeps me in the faith act, because if Jesus paid the price, I must pay the price.
Amen.
And with the price, it's a temporary thing. Ain't that what the word say? It's a temporary
that's
thing.
It.
It's a temporary thing. And I just might cross over and say this to somebody. When you run track, when I was running track with my baby, it was doing a 9.8, a 9.7, 9.4. And I said one day, I said, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to beat these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, determination, I won. Determination,
mm-hmm.
I won.
Mm-hmm.
I won. Y'all keep talking.
You know, and the Prophet Rashonda, it's good to hear your voice. Good to hear from
you. You as well, Apostle. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. And you know, Dr. Hunter, you know, Apostle Paul did say he kept
Lord. Y'all still there?
I'm still here. Apostle Paul said he kept the faith. He finished his course. And that's all we have to do.
He kept the
that's
course.
That's it.
He ran his course.
Amen.
He stayed in his lane. See, we're not to be competing against one another. We're just wanting to finish our course.
That's it.
Yeah.
Keep the faith and run your course. And that's what Paul said he did. He kept the faith. He finished the course that God gave him. See, the body of Christ, the Bible clearly says that it's made up of many members.
Made up of many members,
but we all do different things. God uses us to do different things.
Yeah, but fitly joined together. Yes, Lord.
Right, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But we all, each one of us got our own course, and we need to persevere to finish our course.
Mm-hmm.
And God will help us. He's going to help us. He's going to help us finish, just like he did Paul. He's going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the faith and persevere. Run your course. Run your race. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Paul telling the church in Colossae, let no man defraud you of your reward. Let no man.
That's right.
Don't let no man defraud you of your reward.
That's right.
Because it's up to you. And we're living in that time we're living in now. And I thank God tonight. I thank God tonight for more.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you.
That's why it's so important to continue to teach the word of hope. You know, I'm telling you, this really was a great word tonight. You know,
glory
even
God.
That's right. I'm telling you, because I'm not thinking about the believers. I'm thinking about the unbelievers. You know, giving them the hope. You know, we as believers, we should already believe in it. We should already be pressing towards the mark. You know, because we already know.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be where you at. We should be teaching. You know, persuading somebody else. You know, to come on and taste and see that Jesus is good.
Come on now. That's it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, And that's why I'm telling you, I heard so much out of this message. And I, like I said, I got a message out of the message. Duty calls. You know, and you touched on it just a little bit, Apostle. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers and pastors, and some teachers for what? For edifying and building the body.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And that's why I thought, amen. And that's
amen.
Why we got to come together, duty call. I'm telling you, are we standing at attention? Are we hearkening to the voice of God to when he make the call and he says go, are you ready to go? Are you prepared to go?
Yes. That's it. Amen. Amen.
Duty call.
That's it.
I'm telling you, it might be a message of hope you got to teach. It might be a message of healing you got to teach. It might be a message of deliverance. It might be a message of finances. The Lord is your shepherd. You should not walk. Whatever it is. Are we standing in that position when duty calls?
Yes.
You know when they come in, you know when they come to those dorms, and they go get and them sergeants go knock on them walls, them doors, and what them guys do? They're standing at attention, quick.
Yeah.
Quick.
They don't mess around, and guess what? They already prepared them. And that's what God is saying. When I gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some preachers, and some evangelists, I have already equipped those who I have called. Are you in position when I say move?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're in a place now. It should be signs and wonders.
That's right.
And wonders. Signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, when you speak of things, when you speak a thing, it should happen. Duty calls. You know what? Go to Genesis. And I ain't trying to preach no message tonight because I said I was resting my voice tonight. I said because I done had a glorious time the whole weekend. I thank you. And I bless the Lord for everything that he done over this weekend. But duty calls. Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl in the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Duty calls. Duty calls. Duty calls. We are weak. God gave us dominion over everything in the air, everything creeping, crawling on the land, and everything that's in the sea. But we got such a great call, and we're supposed to be seeing signs and wonders. Are you in that position? Because what he said, what did I do? I equipped them, I ordained them, and I gave them what? I gave them power.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I give them power to cast out demons and devils and every matter of sickness and disease.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to tarry.
Right.
Why do we have to tarry with a healing? Why do we have to tarry with a deliverance? When Jesus got that boat and the man in the tomb, he came straight to Jesus, and what happened? He was delivered.
That's right.
That's the kind of power that we should be operating in. But the Word of God says we err not knowing the Scriptures and not knowing the power of God.
The power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But I'm telling you, soon as somebody, a demon get loose, people get scared. Tell that demon where to go. You got the power.
Yeah,
they go running and hiding. You got the power.
That's right. That's right.
But we got to stay fortified. We got to stay connected. Them demons and devils can whoop your butt because you don't stay plugged in to the power source.
That's right.
We have to apply ourselves daily. How can you build and equip somebody and you out of position?
My Lord. Hallelujah.
It's just like this right
Hallelujah.
It's just like this right here. Let me show you the first ministry. The first ministry was between Adam and Eve because God made them husband and wife. And everybody, you know, like to say, oh, it was that woman. And Adam said, it was that woman that you gave me. So they're going to blame it and the faulting. But who did God give headship over, rulership? Who did he give that to?
The man.
The man. He gave it to the man. And when the woman came to the husband and said, honey, taste this, the first thing the man should have said, honey, we can't have that.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. And I'm talking, now we married. Now we having these kids. And these kids, and yes, some of these kids, because I'll give it to you in the scripture, Hammett was born cursed. Because what did he do? He tried to take out the Jews. Remember his mother was pregnant. And the prophet Samuel said, I can't even think the man's name that he was talking to. Why did you let her go? He said, you fool, she was pregnant with child. It was like, oh, that's just a mere woman. No, it's a seed that she was carrying.
That's right.
And some of these seeds, they do come in here corrupt. But God has given us the power to destroy the things at the root. I gave you power to do what? To uproot, pull down, and throw down.
Mm-hmm.
But we yet fail to operate in the power that God has given us. And we cannot afford to continue to error. We know, everybody knows on this line, that the devil has not been released yet.
That's
but God gave us the power to do what? He gave us the power to snatch it out.
Pull it down. Pull it
to
down.
Snatch it out. The kingdom of God suffers by violence. But the violence is taken back by force. Why do we have dominion? And this is the first charity. I want to go back to the family. Why do we allow our children to be tormented by these evil spirits when God gave you dominion and power over this child? When you can cast some demons and devils out of that child. But you know what? A lot of times, it's the way our kids are taught. You know, these imaginary friends. Oh, it's cute. It's not going to hurt or harm them. Let them play with that imaginary friend. No. You're planting a seed.
Right.
It's a seed to make your child schizophrenic. And then your child is going to be hearing multiple voices. He's going to name a whole team of them. There's Frankie, Johnny, Ricky, Mike, Donnie. Which one are you talking to today, son? No.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have a Christ-like mind. We can't think the way we want to think.
That's right.
We got to renew our mind daily. But we got a duty is calling, and we got to get in position to snatch these things out. I'm telling you, God said, I'll build upon this rock, I shall build my church, and no gates of hell shall prevail. I give you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall harm you. So come on, break it on, because we equipped. Because there ain't no name above Jesus' name. There ain't no power nor dominion greater than his. All power belongs to him. So who's in you?
That's right.
Amen.
God is trying to get us to understand the same way that he first created us. When he first created us, he says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, in his image, God created him, and male, female created them. He created both of us at the same time, but he didn't manifest the woman till later on. But he's trying to show us we are all as one.
Amen.
The Father and the Son are as one, and so shall we be.
We shall be.
And we got to come together. We got to come together, and we got to be on one accord. We got to begin to unite like never before and turn down the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank God tonight for what has been said, but I got another young man that's going to come on, but I want to finish what I was doing, giving you out my email address. It's williejhunter@yahoo.com. williejhunter@yahoo.com. If you're interested in being a part of what I'm saying on every Wednesday from 9 o'clock Central Standard Time to 12 o'clock, because it's time for us as both the prophetess and the apostle has said, the time has come for us to press our way. It's up to us. It is up to us. And I just believe God has been so good, and what God has said, I thank God. And I don't want you to leave the line yet. I want everybody to stay on it because I got somebody else that's ready to come on, and I think he's on right now. Preacher man, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are
I
you
am.
There?
I am here.
Well, give us the word that God has laid on you.
First of all, I'd like to say, giving honor to God, and thank each and every one of y'all. I really enjoy Dr. Newsom, all of the words that have went forth, and I just thank God for this moment in time to be able to come and be able to witness to the people. Over the internet, over the radio, over the phone, and I just really, truly, and humble myself before his presence. Amen. And I thank you, Dr. Hunter, for this opportunity. This is Minister Tyrone Stafford, and I am coming with you from Psalms for the Believer. And we are going to be starting out with the first chapter of Psalms, which is also the book one of Psalms. What we'll be doing is we'll be dealing with Psalms chapter by chapter and book by book. The first book of Psalms are chapters 1 through 41. And though they fall in no particular format, it is helpful to remember the 150 chapters of Psalms are broken down into 5 consecutive books. It is also helpful to remember that Psalms are not written in any particular historical format, but they do serve as a parallel to the time and events of past, present, and future. They do not narrate or summarize events, but they capture the true thoughts and emotions that the author was feeling at the time that they wrote it. What a wonderful feeling it is to know that there are no lies, no pride or arrogancy to be found in each of the Psalms. What a feeling it is to know that there is meaning behind every word that is written in Psalms. On every page, you will find true expression. You will find true confession. And through the voice of our ancestors speaking and praying to God in this book, it gives us the chance to get to know God better. It is designed to make us hunger and thirst for a closer relationship with God and to know who he is, to know what he likes, to know what he dislikes, what he approves and what he disapproves. And I like to drop this footnote in there for the new Christian. Psalms is by far one of the most important books for newborn Christians to read because it is more reader friendly. It is easier to understand, and it is packed with knowledge of who God is. some new Christians or even old ones for that matter might try to start out reading the Bible in Genesis and get confused or lost. So to all of the new Christians, newborn Christians, start out in the book of Psalms, which is a blueprint for reading and understanding God's word, in which, of course, we should always pray before reading his word, so that he may give us clarity and understanding. And the more you understand, the more you will want to read. And the more you read, the more you can love and appreciate our Heavenly Father for all of the wonderful things that he is doing and will do. So, without further ado, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come to you right now with full authority of the power of Jesus Christ through his blood that was shed on the cross for our sins, oh God. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment, God. Lord, I ask that you would touch and anoint each and every listener on tonight, God, that you would open their minds, that you would open their spirits, open their hearts and their ears to receive the word, the divine word that you have instilled in each and every doctor, every evangelist, every minister, every pastor, Lord, every sinner, every person that is still lost, all the new Christians, all of the older, mature Christians. God, I ask that you touch each and every person on tonight, oh God. Lord, give them divine courage, God. Give them divine peace. Give them joy in their hearts, oh God. Lord, I ask that you touch their houses, oh God. Keep them covered in this time of trouble and trial and tribulation, God. I ask that you keep them covered in the name of Jesus. Hide them away under the shadows of your wings. And, Lord, I ask now that you would increase in me and decrease myself so that I may deliver the word of God just as you have given it to me. And I declare it and decree it. I believe it and receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank God we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move to the first chapter of Psalms. And I like to entitle this one as a Beatitude of a True Believer. A Beatitude of a True Believer. And this is not to be confused with the declarations of blessedness pronounced by Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, found in chapter 5 of Matthew. Those we often refer to as the Beatitudes. But a Beatitude, I'm going to give you the definition. A Beatitude is defined as supreme blessedness and exalted happiness. So as we start with verse 1, we will realize that a man can experience the supreme blessings and happiness that comes from God, because God only, through a true and living God, can we experience supreme blessings and exalted happiness. And that is if he chooses not to stray away from wickedness and not be influenced by sinners, and steer clear of those that make a mockery of God and his word. We have to be very careful of what we allow our ears and our eyes to be entertained by. That means not only do we have to watch who we hang around, but we also need to be aware and aware of what we watch and listen to. So we go to the very first verse here. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These type of people cannot help you walk with God. We should have friends that help edify us and uplift us. Not friends that ridicule God and do things against him. And as we can see, there are three types of people that opposes God: the ungodly, the scornful, and the ungodly, the sinner, and the scornful. So why does the writer tell us not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Well, my brothers and sisters, I'll tell you why. The counsel of the ungodly tells the believer that there is no God. The counsel of the ungodly tells the believer that we all come from primordial ooze. The counsel of the ungodly says the universe started with a big bang. The counsel of the ungodly will tell you that you have no soul. The counsel of the ungodly tells you that when you die, that's just it. The counsel of the ungodly tells you there is no evidence of Christ's death, burial, or resurrection. The counsel of the ungodly tells you there is no such thing as the Holy Ghost. The counsel of the ungodly tells you there is no heaven or hell. The counsel of the ungodly tells you you are no different from a monkey or a fish. The counsel of the ungodly tells you there's no such thing as Moses, or there's no such thing as Noah, that those are all fairy tales. The counsel of the ungodly is dangerous and deceitful for the believer. So why does it say not to stand in the way of sinners? Well, for one thing, sinners lie, sinners cheat, sinners steal, they backbite, murder, fornicate, have boldness in their sins, unforgiveness, hatred, lust, greed, all about money, manipulative, deceitful, guiltless in their failure, unconcerned about their soul, selfish, shows little or no concern of God's word. They have no interest in living right, praying, fasting, or seeking the Holy Spirit. And the worldly list goes on and on and on of sinners. The list just goes on and on and on. That's why the blessed man that walketh with God cannot be blessed, walking in the way of sinners. Then it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, why not the scornful? The scornful are rude. The scornful are obnoxious. Being scornful, they find fault in everything you do or say. They'll cuss you out at the drop of a hat. They're quick to judge you. They adore being angry. They love being mad. They love to persecute. They love enjoying hurting people for little or no reason. Extremely critical, and they're never wrong. They live in their own little world, and they have little regard for anything or anybody else. These people cannot and will not enjoy supreme blessedness and exalted happiness. That's why no man can be blessed of God dealing with these types of people or dealing in these types of entities. Can you be blessed by God if you don't believe in him? Can you be blessed of God if you have no interest in him or his word? Can you be blessed of God if you do not want to obey him? You cannot be blessed if you are like the scornful and keep up a bunch of foolishness and violence. You cannot be blessed and be like the ungodly and believe in nothing. Don't believe in Christianity. Don't even believe in heaven or hell. They just don't believe in anything. You cannot be blessed. That's why the writer of this passage says, blessed is the man that does not involve himself with these types of people, but his delight. Okay, listen. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditate, doth he meditate day and night. The word of God is meant to be studied, is meant to be understood, is meant to be applied to our everyday life. And not only should we know what he says, we should do what he says. The law of the Lord is the holy teaching. 2 Timothy 3:16 and verse 17 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The more we know about God's word, the more resources we will have when dealing with our everyday, day-to-day decisions. His word is like a road map, and we should meditate on it day and night. It doesn't say on Monday night. It doesn't say on Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. It says day and night. It doesn't say just go to church on Sundays or worship on Saturdays. Some people worship on Saturdays. Some people worship on Sundays. That's not the only day that we should meditate on the word of God. We should meditate on the word of God day and night, 24/7, 12, 3, 65. Some people might say, well, that's just too much. Some people might just say, well, that's just too much. You can never study and meditate on God's word too much. Well, for the people that say that that's just too much, then, well, some people meditate on sin day and night. Some people lie, cheat, and steal every day. Some people gossip every day. Sinning 24/7. And one thing that I know about the devil is always on his job, so why can't I be on mine? We need the Lord every day and every hour. You never know. You never know when the devil or the agents of darkness is going to attempt an attack. So we always have to be ready. And the more we delight in God's presence, the more fruitful we become. To delight is to be joyful. To delight is to be happy. And to delight is to enjoy being fruitful according to his word, which leads us to verse 3. And this is a metaphor. We start getting into the actual poetry of Psalms in verse 3 here. And he says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So first, let's deal with season. Let's deal with season first. In his season will he bring forth his fruit. You see, God does not operate in minutes, hours, days, months, weeks, years. You see, before the clock was invented, heaven and earth was created. And there is no reason for God to have a watch, or nor does he need one, because he is the watch. God does not have a calendar, nor does he need a calendar. He is the day. God does not have an alarm clock, nor does he need an alarm clock. He is the alarm. He's never too late, and he's never too early. He arrives precisely when he means to. So when he says it's your season, then and only then is it your season. So we will use this passage as the season of fruitfulness. Now, when you think of the average tree, Now, we're going to break this. I'm going to break this down just a little bit so we can understand exactly what the writer is saying here. When you think of the average tree, it is governed by the four seasons, okay? Fall and winter are the dry and dark seasons. Spring and summer are the wet and light seasons. In fall and winter, rain becomes very scarce and days become shorter. If you notice, I'm most certain a lot of people notice this themselves, it starts getting darker quicker. We come out of daylight saving time, and whereas it was getting dark at 7 and 8 o'clock, now it's getting dark at 5:30, 6 o'clock. So the days have gotten shorter. Okay? So in wintertime, there's snow. I know it doesn't snow here, but in other areas that there is snow. So that tree cannot absorb water. And sunshine is typically not in abundance as it was in the spring and the summertime. So therefore, the tree must shed all of its leaves and fruit because it has to conserve energy and water in order to stay alive during the dry and dark seasons. And once the wet and light seasons return, it begins to bud and produce leaves, flowers, fruit, et cetera, whatever the tree is meant to produce. But a tree that is rooted and grounded, that is planted by the rivers of water, knows that it can draw its water year-round, allowing it to be able to keep its leaves and bear fruit all the time, metaphorically speaking. So the Christian believer is much like this tree, because when you have the joy of the Lord and his word, and you make his word a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, you can constantly be in his presence, and you too can be fruitful. Now, to be fruitful means to produce actions and attitudes that honor him. So in all we do and all that we deal with, we must honor God. Let me help you to understand something. Okay? Being fruitful does not mean that you will not face problems. It doesn't mean that you won't face difficulties. It doesn't mean that you won't face trials and tribulations. But what it does mean is that we will have a more godly attitude, a godly heart and mind, even when we are faced with these issues. It means that we don't have to shut down our productivity and wither, because God's word is like a river that does not run dry. So in a world that gets cold, dry, and dark, we can always find the word of God to be refreshing, warm, uplifting, thirst-quenching, and full of light. Amen?
Amen.
So then we move to verse 4. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. This metaphor comes back from ancient times and comes from a process known as threshing and winnowing grain. Okay? So when grain is cut, it is then crushed in order to remove the shell or husk through this process of threshing and winnowing. It is then thereafter thrown into the air to separate the chaff or the husk from the grain. So the grain, which is heavier, falls back to the ground while the chaff is carried away by the wind. So the life of a sinner is much like chaff. The life of the ungodly and the scornful is much like chaff, because it has no sense of direction and it goes whichever way the wind blows. How many times have we heard people say that? Well, I'll just go whichever way the wind is blowing. You better be careful. You cannot talk in whatever way that the wind is blowing. And so the shaft represents the ungodly sinner and the scornful, and the grain symbolizes the blessed man, the life of a believer that God can use. You see, we have to be separated from shaft. We have to set ourselves separate from the ungodly, separate from the sinner, separate from the scornful.
That's right.
Because, you see, the grain does not go in the way of the shaft, but it rests on solid ground, and it waits to be used of God. So then we move to verses 5 and 6. It says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shaft is useless. That's what it's saying here. Shaft is useless. The ungodly, they're useless. God cannot use them for anything. And one thing that I do know about God is if he can't use you, God will try to use you during your season. But after God just realizes that he just can't use you, then what he'll do is he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. And the very last thing that you ever want to do is be turned into a spiritual reject of God. You do not want to be a spiritual reject of God. You do not want to be like Shaft. Shaft, there is nothing that you can use for Shaft. It's worthless. It isn't worth anything, and it doesn't do anything. So even so, sin is worthless and useless to God. And also, those who choose to continue on in a life of sin will not be able to be used to glorify and honor God. God cannot use sinners in his divine plan. There is no place for a sinner in the divine plan of God. There is no room for a sinner in the divine plan of God. Why? Because they scorn him. They scorn his people. They scorn his word. They scorn his judgment. They don't love him. They don't show God that they love him. They don't worship him. God's divine plan does not include sin, so therefore those who choose that path are just in existence. I see people every single day just existing. They're not doing nothing. They're not trying to have nothing. They're not trying to be anything. They just hanging out at the store, smoking, drinking, and just going on with their life as if that's the only reason that God put them here. And it's really sad to see that. It's really sad to see so many people are just existing. And that's it. You're not being productive. They're not being productive. They're not being like the tree that's planted by the river of water. It's just so sad to see. But one thing that I want everybody to notice here in this verse 6 is these two verses, they speak of two different lives, one that is governed by God and his word, and one that is governed by sin. And one thing that reigns supreme is God's word does not lie. So let us choose the path of a blessed man. Let us choose the path of a man that walks after God. Let us delight in his word. Let us be joyful in God's word. Let us meditate on his word day and night. We need God like never before. We must, in this time, when the devil is going forth, because he's really going forth. He's all over the TV. He's all over the news. He's everywhere you go. You're seeing the signs. You're seeing the signs of the times. And we have to start meditating on the Word of God. We need to start putting, instilling this Word of God into our spirit, because these are the only things that's going to help us in this time. We are living in a time of trouble, and it is time to pray. Amen? But we still have to have joy. We can still exercise our faith. We can still have peace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So let us be like the grain. Let us be like the grain for the sower. Let us be planted by the rivers of living water. And let us be fruitful at all times, no matter what the case may be. And I encourage all sinners and the ungodly, you too can be like grain.
Yes.
You too can be like the tree that is planted by the river. All you have to do is invite Christ into your heart and let him guide and lead you away from ungodly. Let him guide you and lead you away from a world of sin. Let him guide you and lead you away from a world of bitterness. Let him guide you and lead you away from spiritual wickedness. You too can be of a true believer. You too can be blessed. And I just thank God, I really do. I thank God for his message. I thank God for his word. I cannot wait to see what direction this radio station is going to be going in. I thank God for this time. And this is definitely a time that we need him. You know, these children are murdering each other in these schools because they are not receiving any biblical knowledge. The only thing that the world has to offer to teach them is foolishness. We are losing structures in the homes. The homes are being torn apart. So what are they doing? They're running to the next best thing, their friends,
amen,
which have no direction. I remember just 2 weeks ago, they're here 2 weeks ago, some initiation gang members went into a house party here in Houston, Texas. They went to a house party and for the initiation and to make a name for themselves, they made the decision that they was going to shoot up in the party. And they ended up injuring 19 people and murdering two. And one thing that the media did not do is it did not give their names, and it did not give the name of the gang simply because that's all they were trying to do. They were trying to earn an infamous name for themselves. And that is horrible, Saint. That is horrible that you would take somebody's life, that you would even be willing to injure an innocent bystander, an innocent person, just so that you can gain infamy. That does not make you a man. The sad part about it is what they don't realize is that does not make them a man. That doesn't make you a man. To go into a house with loaded guns and murder and injure innocent people, That does not make you a man. That doesn't make you powerful. That doesn't give you a good name. And the sad part about it is those children, they lost their life, the two that lost their life, and then the gang members, they're going to lose theirs because you know what? They're going to throw the book at them. They're going to throw the book at those young men. I guarantee you they are. Out of ignorance and foolishness, out of living a life of ungodliness, out of hanging with sinners, hanging with people, trying to be a part of something that God never intended for you to be a part of. And it is really sad. Then they had another one. Boy, I tell you, saints, it is really time to pray. It is time out for foolishness. It is time in for prayer. It is time in for believing in God. It is time, saints. It is time for us to make a bold step forward. It is time for us to pray for the world. Even though it is in turmoil, even though we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next, typhoons here, the hurricanes here and there. You know, they're talking about a tropical storm or something like that that's close to the Gulf right now, somewhere in that area. You know, we never know what's going to happen. So it's always very important to stay prayed up. And one thing that I do know is there is no particular diabolical event or political event or any sort of event that we are waiting on. God could rapture at any time. Jesus could come back at any time, and we have got to be ready. We have got to be ready. We are living in the end times, and there has never been a time more than now that we really need the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So I thank God for this time. I thank God for this moment, and I ask that y'all would pray with me once again. If there is a person on the line tonight that needs a healing, that is stressed, that is stressing about something, somebody that's hurting, somebody that has lost a loved one, somebody that just sincerely needs prayer, would you call? Would you call? If there's anything that you got out of this message, would you call and share that with us? We love your support, and we care for you. And we thank
Amen.
You for taking out this time to stand with us in this desperate time of need that we really need God. If there's one thing that God is showing us right now, God is showing us that we need him. God is showing each and every individual in this world that we need him, that we cannot make it without him. We have got to have him in our lives. Yes, he does give us a certain amount of power, but that is only because he blesses us with it. So I thank God now, and I'm going to go ahead and pray out of this. Lord in heaven, God, we thank you for this time, God. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that somebody receive something, God, and get something out of this message that I have presented tonight, God. Lord, I ask you to bind the enemy on every hand, in every life, in every aspect, God. I ask that you bind the enemy, God. Lord, we ask that you call us into a mighty battle, God. Lord, we come and we are ready and we are prepared to battle for you, oh God. Lord, I ask that you continue to press us in the right way, to help us to walk in the right way, to help us to lean in the right way, oh God. Lord, that we will not be confused in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you right now for each and every person. I thank you, Lord, for my family. I ask that you bless them. Lord, I ask that you bless Dr. Hunter. Lord, touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. God, anything that is ailing him, we command it to be loosed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you touch Dr. Newsom, oh God. Lord, continue to strengthen his ministry. Lord, continue to increase him, Lord. Lord, and continue to increase his territory, Lord. Lord, continue to enlarge him, God. Lord, I ask that you touch each and every female on the line tonight, every missionary, every evangelist, God. Lord, I ask that you give them the courage, God, and the strength to go on, God, teaching and preaching your word, Lord. I thank you, God, for your prayer warriors, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just give you the glory and the honor, and we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen. And amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Does anybody have something to say? God has been so good to us tonight.
Amen.
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 Amen. I do. Of course. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for that teaching as well. Because it goes right back to, I heard the same thing even in this message, duty calls. And we can if we don't pay attention to what God is speaking in this hour, we're going to miss the mark. You know, even when you came in and you testified to these kids murdering one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's not only the parents' responsibilities, but we as leaders, that's our responsibilities. The Word of God tells us to He sent them out. So we're too busy want to stay inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we're afraid to minister to people that we might see walking in the grocery store, the bank, or what have you. We're afraid to mention Jesus, but Apostle, you just preached on it. The things that Apostle Paul had to encounter, the things that Jesus went through, all the other disciples, the things that the afflictions and things that they went through for Jesus Christ's name's sake. We're going to be prosecuted.
That's right.
Look at those people over in Israel. And other countries that's standing up proclaiming Jesus, and they get murdered every day.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if we get murdered, who are we going to be with? The absent from the body is to be present with God.
That's right.
I can tell right now, I can tell, Lord, I really truly feel in my heart that I'm ready. God, you can take me home any day. I don't want to live in this mess no more because I know who you are. But since I know who he is, it's up to me to tell somebody else who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He says, forbid one soul be lost.
Amen.
And it's time for us to reach these lost souls. We can't be afraid. It shouldn't be no barriers. Language barriers, color barriers, it shouldn't be any. Because it ain't no more Jew, Gentile, male, nor female. It's all, we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We got to love these people out of these places.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the next generation? Are we going to continue to allow the next generations to murder and kill themselves because of the lack of knowledge that their parents have? No. We're going to continue to teach. That's what the Word of God says. Be ready in season, out of season.
And the one thing that we have to learn how to do is we have to learn how to turn that TV off. You know, we have to learn how to turn that radio off.
TV, radio, telephone, turn it all off. Turn your plate down.
You know, we don't read enough anymore. We don't use our brains enough anymore. You know, we allow the TV to entertain our minds. We need to come out of wanting to be entertained all the time. We choose entertainment over education, or educational entertainment. And we need to realize that education is not all about entertainment.
Well, that's
you have
why
to
it's so important.
Educate yourself. You know, we find education is starting to be boring. You know, that's just too boring. You know, I don't want to learn my ABCs. I don't want to write my ABCs. I don't want to look at them on this poster board. Turn the cartoons on. Turn on Sesame Street or, turn on Barney. Let me learn my we want to be entertained too much, and we get bored too fast.
That's a trick of the enemy. And we as believers have to know the tricks of the enemy. Just like the internet, the web. It's got a lot of information up there, but the web is to draw you in to do what? To rob, to steal, to kill, who he can devour. That's Satan's job. If Satan is turning up the heat and out here using whatever measures that he can use, why are we not as saints of God doing the same thing? The word of God says the kingdom of God suffers our balance, but take it back by force. We can talk all day long, but are we out there on the streets compelling them, on the highways and the byways, compelling them to come unto him?
Amen.
We got to woo these people. Some people have been wounded so bad, they wouldn't care if you was a preacher from the moon. But if you love them out of that place, then you'll be able to teach and preach to them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
These people are wounded. Look at these kids. I'm going to tell you, I worked in the mental hospital for 10 years. And when I went over to the adolescent unit, a kid 5 years old. What kids are 5 years old doing in a psych hospital? That was my question. But when you see and understand that the things these kids encounter, somebody murdering their mother in front of them, somebody setting their mother and father on fire, and that's just a little that I'm saying. The things that I have seen and heard in these mental hospitals. The enemy is real, y'all. He is real. And he don't care who. He don't care. He'll snatch your baby right out of your belly. He don't care. But we got to care. Because we said what? God showed us how much he cared. He sent his only begotten son. And he says to love is to know him. Not to love is not to know him. We got to love. And we got to unite. We got to unite like never before. It's time for a revolution.
Sister, I found a verse here that I would love to read that kind of coincides with what you're saying about us, taking action. You know, it's
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 58, and this is one of my favorite chapters.
Amen.
Because it speaks a true word of what we are encountering at this particular moment in time. You know, we running around here, acting like, nothing is wrong. I mean, it's very important for us to know what's really going on in this world.
You better know.
And this world is in critical condition. We're in critical condition, and we're running around here like everything is fine and dandy. I think back in the times of Noah, how Noah kept telling people, "It's a flood coming. The rain is coming. The downpour is coming." And they didn't see it, and they laughed at him, and they, "Oh, that man is crazy," and this and that there. But when the rain started falling, when it started sprinkling, somebody said, "Uh-oh," and I'm read this chapter here, Isaiah chapter 58, first verse. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. It is so important. It says, cry aloud and spare not. That means don't hold back nothing.
Come on, we can't afford to hold back.
You tell it like it is. You tell people what's going on. That's right. Don't hold back anything. It says to lift up your voice like a trumpet and shew my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. The people, Tiles, and the house of Jacob are the Jews. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my way as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. So they're crying out to God and they're praying to God and they're looking for something from God as if they were living their lives pleasing and according to his word. As if they were fasting and praying in the way that God intended for us to fast and pray, to read their word. You know, I mean, they're acting as if, you know, they're already doing the will of God. Wherefore we have, and it says in verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labor. And verse 4, behold, yet fast for strife and debate. You're fasting for the wrong thing, fasting for the wrong reason, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You fasting and praying for the wrong thing. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloths and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? You know, it's remarkable how, you know, we go through the church rituals, you know, the Lord's Supper and all of these things and we, you know, these people, they think that they're living for God. And they are not. And then it says in verse 6, is it not this fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? This is the reason that we fast, to loosen the bands of wickedness, to be removed from heavy burdens, from all of the trials and the heavy burdens that we come in contact with. These are the reasons that we fast and pray and seek God. So one of the things that we really, really, really need to start doing is we need to start crying aloud and letting people know that it is time out for ignorance. It is time out for foolishness. And it is time for us to move forward in God.
Amen. Duty calls. Duty calls. And I'm sounding the alarm.
I know that's right. Praise
amen.
God.
Amen. Duty calls. We can't afford. We can go to Ezekiel 33. We cannot afford when the people have leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And when the word comes, I'm going to it, Ezekiel 33. And when the word comes, you do what? You sound the alarm.
That's right.
The sword, it says when the sword comes to the land, the sword is the word. You sound the alarm.
That's right.
You tell the people the truth. You see, a lot of people like the sugarcoat.
Mm-hmm.
They like to pacify. And not tell the truth. But we must tell the truth. Even if you don't add nothing, God said, don't add nothing to my word and don't take nothing away from it. If you just speak God's word will do exactly what it says. He said, a return nine boards to me. So if you just speak the word, if you need a healing, guess what? The word's going to heal you. If you need a deliverance, the word's going to deliver you. If you need finances, the word's going to bless you. Whatever it is that you need, it's in God's word.
That's right.
But Ezekiel 33 says, and again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of my people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, which what's the land? We, the people. The sword is what? The word.
Yeah.
Amen. If the people of the land take a man of the coast, apostle, pastors, evangelists, prophets, whoever speaking the word, whoever that's over whatever house, that whatever coast they at, y'all on the west coast, and set him their watchman, if when he sees the sword coming upon the land, he blows the trumpet and he warns the people. Then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet, taketh not the warning. Now that you done sound the trumpet. But the people are not taking the warning. And if the sword comes and take him away, his blood should be upon his own head. All we need to do is tell the truth of God's word. But I gotta keep on going. He hears the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and blows not the trumpet. Now here we go. Here's the leaders. This is what God is saying to the leaders now. Now, we the watchmen. Now, we don't blow this trumpet, and the people not warn. If the sword comes and take any person from among them, he shall take away him iniquity, but his blood will be required at the watchman's hand. Be on our hands when we had a chance to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. But we didn't take that chance because they wanted the right color. Maybe they was too short. Maybe they was too fat. Whatever reason people want to say why they don't say anything. Or maybe I'm just afraid to talk to people. Whatever that's got somebody's tongue, it needs to be loose tonight in the name of Jesus. Because he says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of sound mind and power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It's not hard to have a sound mind. All you got to do is think before you speak.
That's right.
Allow
and if you're
Holy
speaking
spirit
God's words, you can never go wrong. And if you're speaking God's word, you can never go wrong.
I'm going to tell you. The Holy Spirit, in a dream, he gave me a dream about 4 or 5 months ago. And in this dream, I seen souls coming up out of the land. And I see myself looking out the window. You know how flowers, trees, and everything is planted out there? I seen people, the land. The people, they're crying out. They're crying out. It tells us, and I think the apostle, you help me out, because this is one of your scriptures you like to quote. The people are looking for the men of God that will manifest. They're looking for somebody to deliver their souls, but people are afraid to open up their mouths. What did the man in the tomb do? He came to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to be with the Father. Great works have, great, you believe in the works that I've done, but greater works you must do. Mm-hmm. They're looking for the Jesus in you. They're looking for the Jesus in me.
That's right. The manifestation of the sons of God.
Yes. Amen. They're looking. The land
mm-hmm.
is crying out. And he says, my people, which was called by my name, humble yourselves. Turn from your wicked way. Seek my face. Repent. Then I shall heal the land.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. God has equipped us with everything that we need. And we got to start applying. We got to start applying the word of God to every situation. What did Jesus tell Satan? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Get thee behind me, Satan. You got the same authority. Remember I showed you in the book of Genesis 2:19. When God called Adam to call everything, you can speak it into existence. Man, in Romans,
amen,
it tells
God.
Us, amen, it tells us in the book of Romans, it says, be fervent. Be fervent about your Father's business. And it's time for us to be fervent about our Father's business, because everybody knows it's going to come a time of day that it's going to come a time that day like no man can work.
That's right.
No man can work. We got to work while it's yet day. Redeem
right.
the time.
That's right.
Redeem the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Facebook, I'm telling you how the Internet, let me go back to the Internet for a minute, how the Internet has portrayed itself to be so helpful to people, and it's very resourceful. It really is. But if I want to go up on the Internet and say, do-do-do-do-do, how do I commit suicide? It'll give me steps from A to B.
Hmm.
It's real. Satan don't care. He don't care. So why are we not aggressive as Satan? And we say to God, why are we not aggressive like that? Why are we not aggressive in our own household? We got the power to cast some demons and devils up out.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get fervent about our Father's business.
Yes.
And stay connected. Stay connected to the power.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost power. Because
that's, right.
that's what's going to help us be victorious.
That's
what's
right.
going to help us to overcome. This is what's going to help us to triumph.
That's right.
We got work to do, y'all.
That's
I love
right.
my brother. I love y'all. Anytime I can come to Houston and help out, go out on the streets, the highways and the byways, and compel them to come, guess what? I'm there. Because I'm serious about my Father's business.
Mm-hmm.
But God has given you power over regions, over territories. And what is it? I gave you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. What is that? Sin? Sin? We got the power. Love
Amen.
The people,
Amen.
But hate the sin. Step on that sin.
Amen.
Step on it. He placed everything under his feet.
Amen. Praise God. Dr. Newsom, are you there?
I am. I stepped away for a while. But I was listening. I had it on mute. You did a wonderful job tonight.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. I see that we're about out of time. Did you want to have any last words or?
No, but I just want to encourage everyone to just keep up the great work. And it was good hearing from you again. And Prophetess Shonda, it's good hearing from you. Just continue to keep up the great work. I tell you, we have to persevere.
Amen.
We have to persevere. Do it during difficult times. You know what? Persevere when we have challenges in different circumstances. Just persevere.
I tell you, faith and perseverance work hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
If we want to obtain the promises of God, if we want to be a help to people, we have to use our faith and we have to persevere.
Amen.
Praise God.
So I just encourage everyone to persevere. Love you all.
Okay.
Love
you
all. Say what
now?
I was asking, were you back? God bless.
Yeah, God bless y'all. May the peace of God be upon you until such time. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Amen.
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 Amen.